It's episode 304 of the Platformers Podcast, a show about games and nerd culture. I am not your host, Brian Barnett. I am instead filling in for him. I am Chris Cornelis. Joining me are...
Me? Okay.
Yeah, hi, one of you, please.
I'll go. Hey, I'm Will Berger. What's up? It's been a few episodes since I've been here, but I'm happy to be back.
Always good to have you.
I'm Lucas White. I thought I was the number three. Sorry. yeah, I wasn't
the
here
chairs
last
keep
week.
Shuffling around. I was in chair two once, and now they've got me over here. It's weird.
It is a little bit weird. I apologize. That's on me. Yeah, sorry. Like I said, it's been a hot second, you know? Like
yeah, it has been. But yeah, Brian is away for the weekend for reasons relating to owls and how superb they are, I believe, was the message I got.
Football.
But yeah, he will be back soon. So, in the interim, I have you two lovely gentlemen here to talk about a bunch of video games, because there's a few of them going on this week.
So many games.
So, if you don't mind, I want to kick it off by kicking it to you guys, because Helldivers 2 appears to have taken over pretty much everyone I know's entire being, and I need to know more about it. And I know you're both in on this, so tell me things about Helldivers.
We took Operation Super Earth to eliminate the Pell World menace, and it seems to be successful so far.
Listen, I'm Team Super Earth, okay? So if you've never played Helldivers 1, Helldivers is, well, one is a top-down game, but two is a third-person shooter co-op game where you play as the Valiant Forces of Super Earth, which, as you would expect, is super fascist. And you drop onto other planets to bring them freedom and liberty, and usually what that means is killing all their inhabitants and taking their shit. So, you go to a planet, you have some missions, you know, your missions might be like, hey, we need you to kill all the Terminids, which are the bugs, and totally legally distinct from both the bugs from Starship Troopers and Warhammer 40,000. These are not Tyranids, these are Terminids. Or you might drop onto a robot automaton world, and you might be like, hey, we need you to blow up their factories and set off a nuke. And you do that, and you die a lot, and it's quite difficult, and then you book your ass back to the dropship and hope and pray that you survive, and that is Helldivers, and it's awesome.
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom. It's democracy.
Like, it goes way hard on, like, you know, you mentioned Starship Troopers. But it's very, like, Paul Verhoeven satire, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Jokes at the expense of America. And it's just, like, it's dialed up to as high as it can go, but it also benefits from, like, it being another 20-ish years since Starship Troopers, so it's like a whole extra couple of decades worth of bullshit for it to make fun of.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
My favorite so far, and I'm sure Will's had enough of me, like, popping every time it happens, but there's these little video terminals in the ship, and they'll do commercials and news footage and stuff, and, there's one where, like, a newscaster lady is just like, blah, 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 big bugs. And she's like, and the best way we can defeat the bugs is a strong economy. And, like, a chart comes in behind the bug, and, like, the stonks line comes and, like, pierces it from below. So it's, like, impaled on this yellow stonks arrow. And it just
kills me
every single time.
It's so good. It's so good. It is really, like, I never get tired of Lucas telling that story, even though he's, like, so, full disclosure, right? Like, I'm doing the IGN review for Helldivers 2. Lucas is doing the Shack News review. We've been playing it together a lot over the last week. And, I never get tired of hearing him tell this story, because every time something comes on the TV, I just kind of, like, turn around and I'm like, what is it this time?
Yeah, exactly.
The seed has been planted and now it must grow.
Yes. They have this, like, little segment called Brash Tactics from General Brash. And it's like, listen, we've determined that the best way to not die is to hide behind cover, because as I've learned, bullets cannot go through cover, provided it is large and impenetrable. And it just shows a rock. So, like, it's extremely funny. It retains the best line from Helldivers 1, which is, how about a nice cup of liberty? You know, which is Helldivers brand approved. It's really funny, and it's extremely emergent in terms of what can happen in the gameplay, in that you'll play several of the same objectives several times, right? Like, it's not to say that there's not a good variety of objectives in Helldivers 2, because there is. Like, we played an objective two, like, right, excuse me, before the show that I had never seen before, and I've probably got 20 hours into the game, that I've just never, straight up, never seen this objective. But you play the objectives multiple times, but what makes it cool is they're all in different places on the map, you're fighting different enemies each time, they have these cool little modifiers, you know, your loadout changes based on what you want to take, like, stuff will just pop up behind you out of these big bug holes, and you'll have to deal with that, you know, like, robots will just drop from the sky, so you're constantly dealing with stuff and constantly coordinating with your teammates. And, you know, you're blowing... There is friendly fire in this game, so, like, I'm dropping airstrikes on people. You know, like, it's very funny and very frantic, and it never feels like a mission goes the same way twice. Like, one of the funniest things that happened was Justin Corrice, and I have been playing this game a lot, too, because he's working on the IGN guide for Helldivers 2. And there's an objective where you have to call down what's called a hell bomb. And the hell bomb... normally when you call down a bomb, it explodes on impact. The hell bomb drops, and then you have to set it off. And so I drop it next to the building that we're supposed to blow it up with, and so I run over to go set off the hell bomb. And unfortunately, the command console for the thing is against the wall, so by using it, I am now stuck between the hell bomb and the building. And I can't... And the camera has gone into the environment, and I can't actually see the commands that I'm supposed to input, because you're basically doing, like, a fighting game input, like, down, down, left, right, up, down, you know, to like, activate certain things. And so I'm like, oh, no, like, guys, I can't get out, and I can't see what the code is for the hell bomb. And so Justin comes over there, and he's like, all right, disengage. So I disconnect from him. He goes, can you see it now? But I still can't move. And he's like, yes. So he connects to the hell bomb. I read him the code. We've set the timer on the hell bomb. Neither one of us can move. We are stuck between the hell bomb and the building. And he's just like, for Super Earth. Well, it's like, for Super Earth, you know. And I did that bit from the Blues Brothers where the Nazis are going off the bridge in the car, and they're like,
yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I've always loved you. And the hell bomb explodes.
That's incredible.
And that is Helldivers 2. But yeah, you know, and the other thing that I really like about it, and then I'll let Lucas talk, I promise I've talked too much, but the other thing I really like about it is the unlock economy is really good. Yes, there's a battle pass, yes, there's a paid battle pass, but the free battle pass is extremely expansive, lots of stuff for you to unlock, actually way more than the paid battle pass, which is usually not the case in a game like this. Plus,
yeah, that's a rarity.
Yeah, there's stuff that you just get for playing the game. Like, for earning and playing the game, you get currency as you level up that you can spend on, like, I want to drop in a Gatling turret, or I want to drop in a turret that shoots mortar shells, or I want to have an airstrike, or I want to get the guard dog, which is my favorite thing in the game, which is this little robot that drone that just hovers around you and lasers stuff. And you get all this new stuff as you play. And so, like, every time you're playing, you're like, oh, I got this new cool thing. Let me go try it. And it doesn't gate you off from this stuff. Like, you level pretty routinely as long as you're doing okay in the missions. And you're constantly getting new stuff. Like, it's not stingy. You always have something new to try. And because the difficulty is scaling really well to where you are in level and the difficulty that you choose, there's always something new for you to see and more stuff for you to try. So it's doing the, like, the multiplayer progression system that I know we all kind of hate and are tired of actually really well. And I enjoy playing it because I'm like, cool, at level 20, I'm going to get the railgun. I cannot wait to get the railgun. And I know because... sometimes they will let you have stuff for free, like, oh, this week everybody gets the railgun, even if you don't have it, right? So there's always something new and cool, and trying to figure out, like, what is the best strategy versus this kind of enemy. So it does all of it really well. And anyway, I've talked way too much. Lucas, you can go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I think for me, what makes Helldivers really cool is, we talked about it being hard, and we talked about, like, oh, we got stuck on things and get blown up and stuff. And so it's got this, like, challenge to it that's almost, you can almost compare it to something like Monster Hunter or whatever, where, like, you're kind of fighting the controls in some ways, the deck is stacked against you, but, like, from top to bottom, it's got comedy just, like, laced all the way through. So, like, Even times where I'll be kind of feeling frustrated just because things aren't going well, it'll still just be really funny because either like somebody will be screaming because their leg got blown off, or just like, you know, a airstrike can go horribly wrong. It's just like everything bad that happens to you is usually just funny, because of just how, I guess, how unfair it really is. Like, you can play on easier difficulties and stuff, but you're still gonna do something like, it hasn't happened in the new game yet, I think, because of the perspective, but when I realized what Helldivers was when I played the first one was when, like, I finished a mission with my friends. We were like, oh, hell yeah, we did it. Now we just have to wait for the what is it? The extraction ship to come land down. And it comes down, and like one or two of us are standing a little too close, and it just squishes us. And the game doesn't warn you. They're like, oh, if you get in the way of things, it will crush you. And that's the kind of vibe. Like, you're dying, but it's funny almost every single time.
Yeah,
That just seems to feed back into the comic loop of it.
exactly. It's
Yeah.
not just the dialogue and the funny stuff on the side. It's like the whole game is just ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole game is funny. It's really hard to get mad about anything that happens in Helldivers 2 because it's genuinely like really funny all the time. So like if someone calls an airstrike on me, I'm just kind of like chuckling because now I'm a torso wearing a cape, you know, like, and I'm like ragdolling around the environment and my limbs have gone in every direction. Or like, you know, if I get like hit by a charger who are these really big, scary armored bugs that we fought like 20 of in one mission recently, I hate them. But they'll come in and you know they'll charge you and they're really fast and they'll hit you and you're like, you know, your guy will have his arm broken, he'll go, "Sweet Liberty, my arm!" Like, it is so genuinely funny, and it does really smart things in terms of like design to make it challenging. Like, if you reload a gun and you have bullets in your clip, those bullets go away. You lose the whole clip. They don't go back into your inventory. Like, that clip is over. So you have to be very careful about like when you reload. If you run out of ammo, the game does not auto reload for you. You know, if you like get injured on your leg, you can't sprint anymore. So you're gonna have to use a stim. So it's constantly kind of asking you to be like, manage your resources, manage the cooldowns on the things that you can call in from the ships above you. You know, every mission has a timer. If the timer runs out, you don't get any more stuff from above you. You have to go to the extraction point and hope that you don't die. And it also makes it very clear, and this is part of the thing that makes it funny because Super Earth is Omega Fascist. Like, when you die as a Helldiver, they're not sending like a clone of you. You're not coming back as the same Helldiver. Like, you are a brand new Helldiver. And he
Like
has the
stormtroopers.
exact same life expectancy as the previous one, which is about 30 seconds. And the best part is when you win the mission, right? And it's giving you all your rewards, it'll be like planet liberated, and it will go up by like 2/100ths to 2/1000ths of a percent after you've killed like 1,000 things and you've all died a bunch and you've done all this work, and it's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter actually. Like,
It's a
you're
forever
just meat for the
war.
grinder. Yep.
Yeah, it's a forever war, you know. You're here to kill the bugs and take their oil, which is literally a mission objective. Sometimes you just go in and you're like, there's oil here. Oh,
It's
for
very,
liberty.
very good.
Sweet liberty.
Beautiful. Yeah, it sounds like it's hitting all the right notes and just about all of that. I'm getting real Deep Rock Galactic vibes, which is probably like, as far as I'm concerned, it's like the poster child of like the, you know, the four player co-op experience. And with that kind of progression loop, it's very good about, you know, how it does seasons and such. No paid season passes. Anything you don't get in the season just folds into the regular unlock thing that you can get, you know, over time and such. It's just lots of variety, lots of modifiers, shenanigans, all sorts of things that can happen. And yeah, it's really good like that. So this is Helldiver sounds like it's scratching the exact same itch as DRG, and yeah, I can see why everyone is leaping on it.
Yeah, it is. You know, obviously I can't say what we're gonna score it. I'm still trying to work that out. I want to see the end game. You know, we're not quite done with the review. It's gonna take me a couple more days, but I do think that I'm playing everybody I'm playing with is fun. Like, it's a different experience every time, and if we're doing the same stuff. And it is the most fun I've had in a game like this in a really long time. Actually, probably since, because I'm one of the rare people that played it, like Helldivers 1, which is, again, extremely funny and extremely smart about what it does. And I played a ton of it with my friends. And it's one of those games where, like, you're like, you got time for one more? We can do one more, right? I'm really close to the railgun. We could do like
I
one
don't have to
more.
go. I don't have to go for another 20 minutes. We can squeeze that in,
We can
right?
squeeze another one. Yeah, let's just find to defend the point. When those take like 10 minutes, it's fine. Yeah, no, it is just remarkably cohesive in every aspect of its design. It's all pushing you towards the same thematic elements, the same like gameplay elements that are reinforcing each other constantly and making you feel like this is a cohesive thing. You know, these pieces fit. They're not just here because it makes sense for them to be here, because it's on the back of the box. Like, they fit and they feel good and they work together. And I haven't played a game that has felt like this front to back, like everything feeds into everything else, like I said, in a really long time.
That's really awesome. Yeah. 'Cause there's always something, right? There's so many features or systems or whatever that just get stuck into a game for something. It's just like, because it's expected that it should be here. You know, this co-op game will have this kind of thing, or it has to have this kind of feature. And you know, it's just like, but why though? Does it really? Does this add to it? You know? So yeah, awesome stuff.
Yeah, I think like my main concern is like it has the different currencies, and most of those currencies are just in-game. And as an aside, something I noticed is like it doesn't even seem to care that much if you spend real money, because like the free pass spits a bunch of premium currency out at you, and also like if you're thorough enough to like explore the side objectives and stuff, you can also find premium currency just like, you know, hanging out on the treasure chest, quote unquote. But some of the like one of the tertiary forms of currency, it seems really slow to get. And so I am a little worried about like what kind
Buy
of,
a booster.
not necessarily that, but just like how much you need to be invested in this game to see all of the really cool stuff.
What kind of long tail areas?
Yeah. And maybe it's just sort of like gamer brain, or it's like I got so much stuff I gotta play. I don't like what happens when the
Smash
hype
the
cools
nail.
down a little bit, you know, and suddenly it's like, well, do I wanna keep grinding out, you know, sample collections to see all the ship upgrades, or am I gonna kind of, you know, putter out eventually? But that's a question mark. So it could be that
That's a
like,
question mark,
yeah.
and the ultimate point is, well, are you enjoying it in the interim? Like, is the time you are putting in okay? Is it worth that? Even if you don't get absolutely everything from the package? That's the balancing act.
Exactly. I've already gotten more out of it than I thought I would, so there you go.
Good sign. So yeah, that's Helldivers 2 then, I guess. Any more thoughts on that, or?
No, I don't think so. It's, I don't know, like I said, I'm probably gonna go play it after we're done with this podcast. Like,
I'm probably gonna go buy it after we're done with this podcast.
I'm
You
gonna,
you've said all the magic words,
yeah,
so.
I'm gonna jump back onto the game. So, you know, the nicest thing I think you can say as a critic, especially for a game, is that I want to keep playing this when I'm done with it. I want to keep playing Helldivers when
True,
I'm done with it.
true.
And
If
that is
you,
not always the case.
yeah,
Yeah.
when you finish that review, you're either like, okay, I am done with this forever, or maybe I'll come back. This was a good time. But very rarely is it like, okay, review's done, I'm back in.
Yeah, all right. Now the work part
Yeah.
is over, and now it's time
I
to
don't have
have
to
some
do the
fun.
obligation part anymore. I can just do what the fuck I want
I can
with
just have fun. I don't have to capture
it.
footage anymore. I can just have fun.
I just want to play the game, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, not that I'm, you know, sad about capturing footage or anything, because I have some really funny clips. But, you know, it's playing a game for work is different than playing a game for fun, and if you've never played a game for work, then you probably don't understand how different it is, because it just feels different. Yeah. Like, it is an obligation. It's something you have to do. You think about it differently. You're always like, I have to get footage of this. I have to get footage of that. I have to try out this weapon. I don't really care about this kind of stuff, but I have to do it anyway, right? I have to engage with the battle pass. Like, I have to see how the monetization is. And when you get to the end of a game for review and you're like, okay, I'm taking off my critic hat and putting on my dunce hat and just big, stupid, fun things, and you're still having a good time, like, that's... It's the highest bar that you can clear as a game, I think.
Yeah, that and like when I'm playing review games, there's like a 75% chance my brain will immediately start fighting playing that game at every chance it can get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I don't want to play this game no more.
Yeah. It's like, I barely played it and I don't want to play it just because I know I have to play it. And that's bad. But yeah,
it always sucks when you end up feeling compelled more than, you know, because you actually want to.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunately what happens in our line of work more often than not. Not that we don't still have fun even when we're doing that. Like,
yeah,
it's not like it's a bad gig or anything, but like, it really is hard to describe to people who haven't done it. It's like, but you're playing a game, it must be fun. It's like, not as much as you'd think. There's more going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, good video game. I like it a lot.
I'll be sure to get in on the shenanigans at some point, hopefully.
Also, the developers seem to have been given a pretty good runway to like support the game, because it has launched with its problems. And probably a lot of those problems are like, holy crap, people are interested in this game, like, en masse. And
yeah, the numbers are huge compared to... even like who knew about the first one, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first one was like, it was Vita, and was it PS3 or 4? I can't remember.
It is on PC, which is where I played it. I don't know what else it released on.
So I played it on Vita. PC game.
Yeah. Let me see. When did it come out? Actually, I can just look in my library and tell you guys.
Many years ago. I remember it was like a PlayStation Plus preview at one point.
Yeah, it would have been a while ago if it was on Vita, so.
Yeah, I think it was like 2015. So this has been
a while, yeah.
A while.
Yeah.
Percolating for nearly a decade, potentially. I don't know if they've done anything in the interim since then, or, you know, how long the actual support development, etc., long tail was for the first. But, yeah, I mean, as you say, they seem to have been given, you know, a decent stretch for how much they can and hopefully will support it, so...
Yeah.
He's hoping.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they said that they want to bring in mechs, which were in the first game, and in the first game they have a third faction, which is like Protoss, legally distinct Protoss. So, you know, I'm hoping to fight the legally distinct Protoss in my legally distinct mech.
Legally distinct Tau from Warhammer, which are also just the same deal.
Yeah, basically, yes.
They all just stole from each other. We get it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Well. So what else has been going on this week? Anything of note?
Is there? Probably more layoffs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's just going on constantly as unfortunately, you kind of predict and expect at this point. Like, none of the... Everyone's like, it's a new year, maybe it won't happen so much. It's like, none of the underlying causes as to why this happened in the first place have been addressed.
It's just going to be worse.
It's going to get worse before it gets better, if it gets better. It's only going to get better if we, you know, fight against this shit.
The layoffs will continue until morale improves. Anyway.
There's been turmoil in the emulation world. That's been kind of weird to
see. Yeah, I saw you mention something like that in passing.
Yeah, the ESA is going after more websites, I think with the cooperation of Nintendo.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Nintendo wasn't involved in it, given the history there.
Yeah, the one that hit me particularly hard, and this might be a good segue into the game I'm going to talk about. CD Romance got hit. And if you're not familiar with CD Romance, it has been a really good spot for not just like downloading ROMs or whatever, but easily getting a hold of things like translations and hacks and just like the sort of like underground
community projects in addition to, you know, the other stuff.
Exactly. So like you can go out and go to ROM hacking websites and sift through all the patches and things that people make, but then you have to kind of like figure out what's what. You have to figure out how to apply the patches yourself, so on and so forth. At CD Romance, this guy has been curating things like and pre-patching things, so it'll be like, well, here's the ones that seem to be the most popular, and here's why, and then here you can download the pre-patched ROM, which like people have their feelings about that.
Saves you the hassle, yeah.
Yeah. So when it's like, for example, a PS1 game I've been really hoping to see translated for a long time, Linda Cubed, just came out right before this happened. So I was very, very surprised to see that I couldn't download it when I went to do so. And there's a workaround, and I won't say what that is out loud, but you can find it pretty easily. So it's not a total loss yet, but it could be.
It's on the internet. The internet doesn't forget. Yeah,
exactly. And my segue here is that, like, speaking of translations, I've been playing one that's kind of a big deal, I think, for Dragon Quest X Offline. The story there is, like, Dragon Quest X was another MMO that Square Enix put together. And it's Dragon Quest, so it's not Final Fantasy, so it doesn't print money, which means trying to charge...
It does, but only in Japan.
Exactly. Trying to localize it and then charge a subscription fee for it, and you know, it's a game that like came out I think for the Wii originally, although it's been ported to everything, but it's just like, it's you look at it and it's like, okay, I can see why this isn't financially tenable to localize. People have been,
especially MMOs in general, lots of words, lots of systems, just big scripts, 100%, a lot to go through.
100%. And there have been translation efforts, but because of what Chris just said, with all the systems and all the text and all the garbage you have to sift through, it's very incomplete and it's been a long time coming. And there's been a little bit of controversy because they sort of like have, they've got their manual translators and then they're using machine translation to help. And my understanding is over time, they've been trying to like, okay, we got the machine translation to get, you know, things going. And then we are kind of going back as we go forward and trying to like go back over it and, you know, localize it.
Basically editing the work. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it is what it is there. The latest development is that translation has now been applied to the offline version, which has come out for PC and Nintendo Switch. Might be on other platforms, but those are the ones that are easiest for people outside of Japan to get a hold of, legitimately or otherwise. So I've been playing with that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it is such a weird game, and I was saying before the podcast, like, I feel like there's just no way this thing gets localized, even though it's not offline. I mean, not online. There's no subscription fee. Because it's like they basically took the bones of the MMO and like ripped out all the MMO parts, splatted like a traditional Dragon Quest game on top of it, but then like all the skeletal remains of the MMO stuff is still just like scattered all over the place in like really weird ways.
Right.
And like I think the best way I can describe what I mean is there's an early town that it's basically just like a spiral up a mountain, and as you go up the spiral there's all these NPCs you can talk to, and they're like, hey, I'm the blacksmithing guild, or hey, I'm the like leatherworking guild, blah blah blah, like all the stuff that's like, oh okay, this is where you go in and you grind your ass
professions
off. Yeah.
And do your crafting and all the shit.
Exactly. But they're all like, we're not open for business and never will be, presumably, because you get like all the stuff from Dragon Quest XI, where it's like, here's the fun size forge, and basically you can just do all the crafting and stuff by yourself in your menu. But like, the world of the game still exists, and all of this stuff that...
These vestigial systems are no longer actually applied because you don't have other people running around and trading in all these parts and such, so it's like, well, don't bother.
It's all still there, and they still have, like, these little shops, and it's, like, it's really confusing. It doesn't help that, like, the translation's not perfect. So it's, like, it's funny, it's been so... there's been so many advances in, like, fan translations and stuff. It almost spoiled. It's almost like, oh, this isn't a complete translation? You almost want to, like, turn your nose up at it, because it's like, I can go play Shirin the Wanderer Gaiden on Sega Dreamcast, fully translated, which is a crazy thing to say. And it's like, oh, Dragon Quest X, it's, like, mostly done, but, like, if I go to Fish, I have to do it in Japanese. I'm doing it anyway because it's like, all right, this game's been out forever. Obviously, it's not getting localized. Let's just check it out. And it's weird. It's really weird. I have moments where I'm like, this is awesome, and other moments where I'm like, I don't know if I'm fully on board with this. Another example is, like, it's got all the, like, I don't know how to describe this. I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about, though, but, like, in MMOs where it's like, oh, you went too far to the right on the maps. Now everything's just going to fucking murder you in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But if you go the right way...
There's no level scaling or anything. It's just there is a narrow corridor during which you can go there. Either side of you is high level zones. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Do not wander near the plague lands, or the plague bears will run out and kill you in your starting zone in the undead.
Yeah. And it's like, if you follow the right path, everything's too weak. So the EXP is really low. And, like, sometimes your objective is through the high-level stuff, so you have to kind of, like, weave around and run through. And it's weird, and, like, I've found myself just, like, stuck on a boss in a way that, like, Dragon Quest games can sometimes be a little difficult, where they'll be like, oh, you need to kind of be at this level to get through, but once you get there, it's fine. But this is like, okay, I can decimate any monster on the way to this boss, no problem. The EXP I'm getting is pretty low, and this thing's just, like, one-shotting my people still, and I'm just like, damn. they really just stripped the offline out, made the, like, character models cutesy little chibi guys, and then they just sort of, like, called it done and walked away.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a full-on reimagining of the game without the MMO. It was just... the bare bones, you know. Eh, you can technically play it solo, kind of, maybe, perhaps. Yeah,
and, like, they did change things. Like, the battle system is completely different. You get, like, actual, like, characters in your party that were part of the story before. But it's really just, like, they ripped a bunch of guts out and then put, like, a couple pieces back in to, like, make it function. But they didn't really, like... I don't want to say they didn't put, like, the effort in, but they didn't realize maybe that, like, there's a lot of other stuff that maybe they could have tweaked the math a little bit to make it more like a game that you're playing by yourself. And I don't really have any way of knowing if, like, there's still multiplayer to it or what, not because I'm playing a, you know, there's still region locks you have to deal with, even with, like, the PC version. So, like, just this, there's parts of the game that I just can't get to, either because they're not translated yet, or I don't know if, like, they'll even function for me or not. So it's weird. I love Dragon Quest. We're not streaming right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Dragon Quest shit behind me right now. Yeah,
there is still recording, and I can still see everything. It's awesome. But,
I'm just like, I've been playing this game for 30-something hours now, and it's like, I like this. It's interesting. The battle theme is incredible. It's like, you know, the one of the pieces of music that Sugiyama put out before he, you know, died, and frankly, good riddance, but it's really good. It's one of the best ones. But, like, there's just so many things about it where it's like, I understand why this isn't out, and I feel like maybe the people clamoring for it should probably, like, relax and enjoy the translation and, you know, look forward...
Temper the expectations somewhat. Yeah,
look forward to the games that actually will come out in English officially. I don't know, maybe I'll turn the corner and things will really pop off. I'm not sure yet, but very grateful to be able to play it without thinking too hard about bypassing things and messing with VPNs and trying to figure
Really,
out
really
billing
having to
and
work for it, yeah.
it's like, cool, I can play this and I can finally say I played every mainline Dragon Quest, which is quite a feat at this point.
It is, yeah. I think that's the only one I'm missing as well.
Yeah.
So, just, yeah.
So yeah, that's Dragon Quest X offline. For those listening, if you're curious, you can go to Nexus Mods like anything else and get all the instructions you need and other parts you have to figure out for yourself, but that's how it goes. The end.
Neat, awesome. Yeah, well, I've always been curious to see how that would go because, again, like, there's a few MMOs out there where it's like, yeah, there's really good aspects to them that might be really cool to preserve, but like, God help you if you're trying to go back and, say, for example, experience the story of Final Fantasy XI is the big one in 2024 without ever going there in the first place. Like, that game is over 20 years old with so many layers and systems and shaking it around and made with a UI before WoW kind of smoothed everything and set the industry or set the genre, standards. It's like, oh, good luck. It might be a good story. I'm sure it is. People say it is, but like,
So I played
that's a
that
big
game
ask.
when it was like peak popularity, and I still couldn't figure out how the hell I was supposed to follow the story like linearly.
Fair
That
enough.
game just drags you around by the wrist, and it's like, do this, do that, do this. But that's a whole other
See this
thing.
cool shit over
Yeah.
here.
It was like, I don't know what the story is. I sure did play that game a lot with my friends, but I couldn't tell you what it was about. Other
The real
than,
Final
yeah.
Fantasy 4 11 was the friends you made along the way, yada yada.
Yeah,
And also the monsters you ground out, the
gonna
many,
say
many monsters.
getting murdered over and over by goblins.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Being unable to party as anything if without a white mage because you pick the DPS and God help you.
Then you died and you lost experience because that was a thing that MMO developers mess with back then.
Oh God.
Yep.
Poof.
We're
Spend
going
that
back.
whole day working, make a single mistake, and it's gone.
And it'll de-level your ass without hesitation.
You get one attempt at this end game boss, just one, because otherwise, then you're gonna go back and grind again.
Love
There is a special place in hell for that, and I don't know why anyone was involved. Like, I don't know why anyone played these things. I don't know why I played these things. I played these things. I'm sick in the fucking head, man.
We all were. It's
Sounds
okay.
like MMOs. There is so much
Hi,
promise.
my name's Chris, and I played MMOs.
Hi, Chris. No, seriously.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes. I still play them, but they're a little bit better about it. So it's a weird time when I can say that WoW actually respects my time, but it does, and it's shocking. And Dragonflight's good. Shocking, really.
It is really good.
Have to take Hill's word for it.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone for not going back or anything like that. Get off that train if you can. You're probably better off, but like, when you got friends there, it's nothing else quite like it.
Because I've got like trauma from my friends being in the World of Warcraft of this whole can of worms.
That's the other side of the coin, isn't it?
Yeah.
The friend group's getting shattered by the WoW players because they're
Listen.
like, we just want to play WoW, and
Listen. It's like League of Legends players, man.
Degenerates
It
all.
is. It is like League of Legends actually blew up several real life friendships for
Oh no.
between my friends.
I
It is
believe it.
like it's don't let it do it to you.
It's not worth it, guys. It really isn't.
It's
Like,
not worth it.
alternatively, your friends were weak.
Yeah, probably.
They lack the spine to get in there. They did
Wow.
not deserve the diamond, yada yada. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't truly believe that
You
well.
know,
I'm
I mean, it's
sorry.
maybe they were a little bit weak, maybe they couldn't hack it. But
But that's not the point.
they shouldn't have been taking it out on each other.
True.
You gotta gotta have
all chat is there for a reason. Take it out on them.
Yeah, right? Like, listen, you know, I made a joke the other day, and people were like, you know, you remember when how online lobbies used to be? I'm like, yeah, man, I remember being in lobbies for Halo and Call of Duty and somebody calling a racial slur and, like, telling me they'd done terrible things to my mother. Like, yeah. Yeah. It makes me feel young. Like, I get it. You know?
The Xbox Live experience.
It was an experience. You were either there or you weren't. And I'm not saying it's good nostalgia, but it makes me feel younger.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I can't say it's good. I'm sure it hurt a lot of people, but at the same time, like, I just think back on that and go, fuck, that was funny. You know?
Like, it's just like, it was a time. It was a time in history. It was a time in history, and we all lived through it. All of us are old enough to have lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this and, you know, you aren't old enough to it, well, I'm curious how the hell you found us, but, you know, welcome. Games have always been interesting in their own way.
And gamers have always been weird.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Yeah, this is the most socially acceptable gaming has ever been, but we were all closeted nerds once upon a time. Yeah. It's some of us are still just surprised that we don't get beat up for our lunch money, right? Like,
I don't know. You know, there's some people in this hobby who could definitely have been shoved in more lockers, and it might have been helpful for them.
Yep.
As a career, but
might have been a little healthy. In the long run.
What's that Flannery O'Connor line? You know, he would have been a good man if there'd been someone there to shoot. Or no, she would have been a good woman if there'd been someone there to shoot her every single second of her life. You know, like.
Shout outs to Flannery O'Connor.
Shout outs to Flannery O'Connor. One of the best to ever do it. But yeah, you know, that's multiplayer games. Speaking of multiplayer games, I have a transition.
Mm. Oh, go for it.
Tekken!
It's out, it's here.
I haven't gotten to talk about it really since it's come out, but oh my god, it's so fucking good, you guys. It's got a learning curve, right? Because sometimes you're like, I don't know how to punish this. I don't know if this is launch punishable. I know this is minus. How minus is it? So you're like, try your launcher. Nope. Okay, now I'm punishable. So it's got the learning curve of, like, learning where stuff is and how to punish certain things. And other fighting games are kind of, like, more standardized, if you will. It's not to say that there's not a lot of standardization in Tekken. Like, Rage Arts are always punishable by the same things and stuff like that. But playing that game and learning that game and watching people play that game and, like, being like, oh, you can do that. Oh, you can do that. Oh, that's cool. I like that. Has been this really interesting and satisfying, like, thing. As someone who hasn't really played Tekken in a hardcore way since like Tekken 5, I have a lot of catching up to do. There's a lot of learning.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of assumed knowledge in the series that old and that, you know, continual.
Yeah,
Can
you Korean backdash? You gonna learn.
You're gonna learn.
But no.
You're gonna learn today.
You are going to learn today. You are gonna learn not to whiff buttons in my face, otherwise you're gonna get hit with a launcher. But Tekken is wonderful. I've talked about this game at length, but I have been playing more of it. It's great. The online is smooth. It's got great teaching tools. Like, it is the most accessible I think Tekken has ever been. And so when I'm not playing Helldivers 2, I'm thinking about Tekken. And I'm playing Tekken. And I'm not playing Tekken, I'm thinking about Tekken. Tekken is awesome. I don't want to prolong this because we've talked about Tekken at length, but great teaching tools, super fun, lots of single player content, and the online kicks ass. So if you are one of those people who are like, man, I know there's a ton of stuff out this month, and last month, you know, you got Persona 3 Reload, we got Rebirth on the horizon, Helldivers 2 we talked about today, there's a dozen other things that are coming out, large and small, and there's no shortage of stuff to play if you are into this hobby. But if you're not playing Tekken 8, you really should be looking at it if you like fighting games, because it is special.
Well, I do, and I want to, that's for sure. I at this point, I almost feel like I need to go in just to see, you know, my assumptions about, I like 3D fighters better, personally. Will that still hold true in something that isn't like a current Soul Calibur? So, yeah, especially when given that I'm still thoroughly enjoying Granblue, so the most I have in a fighting game for a while, so I was like, cool. Maybe it's not so one-sided.
I played a little bit of Tekken 8. I got it. I immediately went into training mode and played with King which is usually what I do when I have a Tekken game. Just like, what are the cool things the king can do now? Man, he's got that diamond cutter now. It's great because I'm mostly talking out of my ass here, but I feel like Tekken, it has like what it looks like, and then it has like what high level play is, and then it has like what competitive play is, and it's like two or three different games almost. It's like I look at King and I'm like, oh, he does wrestling moves, he's a grappler, and then I'll look at high level King play and it's like, oh, he's doing juggles and stuff. It feels intuitively like King has been given a lot more reasons to do grapples in this compared to before.
The chain throws, baby.
Yeah. It's like, it's not only like chain throws, it's like there's more routes to doing different kinds of throws. There's a lot more kinds of throws that seem to serve different purposes. And there's like ways to get to them as well. Like even if you're doing juggles, it's like you do his high knee and then you can like hit them three times and then hit the throw button. You get a nice little like jumping backbreaker thing that you can do more stuff out of as well. Or like if you he has like a command run thing, which is where like that diamond cutter comes in, but like if you do that during other things, it changes different throws. So it's like, I feel like a lot of times, especially coming from 2D fighters, it feels like poor form to like spam throws. But King and Tekken 8 feels like you're really encouraged to do different throws and you're rewarded for it. And there's like more of a mix up to it where like people who know what they're doing can break out of the throws. So it's like, it feels more like an actual part of it. And I could be making this up and completely wrong, but it just feels like King doing wrestling moves is good in Tekken 8 specifically.
That's what you'd want to do.
Yeah. But I haven't taken it out of training. I have not had time for it. But it's so cool to be like, oh man, he's got the diamond cutter, and then here's the pedigree, and here's the muscle buster, and the different like leg locks, and it's just so cool to see that stuff animated with that much like fidelity. It is disappointing he's not in the Bullet Club anymore though. That's a real shame. They should have found a way to keep the New Japan license so that Rainmaker King can be in Tekken 8. And that's true. A big disappointment. Yeah.
That is a loss, yeah.
Huge loss. But yeah, it's awesome.
Big shame.
I would love to go and play the single player, and they have like a Tekken Force kind of thing in this, right? Something similar. Yes. I don't know if you can like pick your character in that, but I'd love to like just play a brawler as King and do all those throws.
I don't think that's technically a thing in 8. I'm not to that part in the story mode where it goes into kind of the Tekken Force part of it, but I don't think King is playable. Not sure. But you know, I don't know, man. Tekken's good. It's a great time for fighting games. It's a great time for video games. If you're an RPG sicko, you're living it up.
Oh god,
you're either living it up or
right now it's just ridiculous.
Incredibly stressed out. One of the two, maybe a little both.
Yeah. Both.
It's just
good.
Like, make it stop, please. Speaking of Chris, I know you've been playing one of the RPG Sicko games.
I am still playing the RPG Sicko game that I have been for the last couple of weeks. That being Like a Dragon, the 8th, Infinite Wealth, the Yakuza, the second turn-based RPG variation of them, the second Ichiban game, so on and so forth, whatever you want to call it. I am very far and also not very far. It feels like this game goes on forever, and unlike many games where it's like, oh my god, I just want it to end, it's like, no, I am prolonging the experience because it's a Like a Dragon game, and it's like, I'm just going to fuck around. I'm just going to go virtual tourism. There's a thing here where you take photos and certain things. I'm going to look around the city, try and find those. I'm just going to, you know, fuck around with some of these jobs, see what dumb move sets and combos I can do. I'm just gonna go get all the, you know, the various collectibles of this one thing. I'm just gonna spend 5 hours straight just binging playing fucking Yakuza Crossing, as I've dubbed it. Just the entire little mini game thing where you just have an island which you have to clean up and gather resources and build up and build a resort and make everyone happy. And it's like, this could be a game on its own, but it's here as a mini game in addition to the Pokemon knockoff and the actual game, which is still completely, full-blooded, full-bodied RPG with everything, improved from 7 in terms of like various systems and stuff. They've listened to feedback and adjusted accordingly, and it's a market improvement in mechanically and all that stuff. Like, the job system is, as you asked a while back, Lucas, much better now. You're not nearly punished for not experimenting, and in fact you should be experimenting because you can get away with it. You can get, mix and match skills. You have a skill inheritance where the closer you are to a character, the more skills they can inherit from other jobs that aren't their current one. The bulk of stat allocations are to your main level. Your job level only provides like 2 stats per. It's very minor, so you're not nearly punished for swapping out midway as you were previously. So
That's so
it's
good to hear.
really good. It's so much better. And so as a result, I've just been fucking around with so many of the jobs and systems, which is great because they're all fucking hilarious or neat in their own way. Like, I just hit the point in the story where, so it takes a while to even unlock the job system, right? Everyone has their default unique job. And then about chapter 5 it is, which is a way in, you unlock the ability to unlock further jobs by, basically, and the way they frame it is, as opposed to in the previous game where you would literally go to an employment agency and get like a part-time job, this one, it's like, no, you go on a tour to some kind of event or like activity in Hawaii, and then something on that tour inspires them to make a to turn that into a class. And some of the leaps in logic are fucking ridiculous and hilarious. Like, for example, Ichiban goes parasailing, accidentally falls off, does a ridiculously sick move to grab a palm tree and, to save his fall, coconut falls, he knocks it out of the air and unlocks the action star thing where he does, fucking nunchuck moves and Bruce Lee shit.
That's
It's
so good.
like, okay, it's so good. And they're all like that. And it was like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of new classes and jobs to fuck around with, all, new Hawaiian themed various stuff. And then I just hit the point where it's like, okay, cool. Just randomly, we're going to unlock all the old jobs from the last game, or at least, like a selection of them. In addition to all that, those that haven't been, replaced or kind of subsumed by other stuff. So it's like, now I have even more to play with and more systems to upgrade the base jobs. Like, both Ichiban and Kiryu have their own, variations of things where the stuff you do out in the world, like your little mini games and such, will increase your. For Ichiban, it's personality. For Kiryu, it's like the old body soul tech kind of thing. And this just gives you passive buffs and increases the power both of you in general and of your unique class. So at the end of the day, you will probably just go back to, Hero or Dragon of Dojima, respectively. And fuck around with that, and there's so many options and great shit like that, and it's so good. It really is. And yeah, I'm having a ball. That's the bulk of what I've been playing for the last couple of weeks, and admittedly not a lot of gaming. I've been doing a lot of writing such on the side, but yeah, when I'm not, I'm thinking about it and wanting to go back to it, and it's great. I love the bits. It's very, very
How
good.
much time would you say you put into it so far?
I will consult my Steam for you. The save file says, I think there's more on Steam. My current save file is at about 60 hours, I want to
Okay.
say, I checked at. And I'm on chapter 8. I don't know how many there are. There's usually like anywhere between, 12 to 15. So it could be a while.
Nice.
And at least some of that 60 hours has been, me idling or
Of
doing
course,
other
of course.
stuff, because, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, about that. So there's a lot, and like, I know a friend of the show, Timo, has been like, he powered through it real quick and talks it up endlessly, but he did not do what I'm doing and taking my time and checking out everything and such. So
Awesome.
yeah, I don't know when I'm ever going to find time for anything else, but I don't care. I'm having a ball.
I really want to do a full-on Yakuza series run sometime, but Man, that's hard to make the
Do you
time
have much
for.
experience with the series at all, or?
I played a huge chunk of Zero and Seven, and that's pretty much it. I've been aware of the series forever. And I tried to play three back in the PS3. And just like, it was just another one of those things where it's like, I didn't have time for it. So it's like one of those things where it's like, I've
Yeah,
always
it's a big
paid
investment,
attention.
yeah.
It's definitely my wheelhouse. I mean, I love River City Ransom, Kunio-kun, and to me, Yakuza has always been like a sort of modern conversion of that more than anything else.
Yeah, it's the most 3D beat 'em
Yeah.
up, idea concept carried forward with extra stuff.
Yeah. So I definitely like it is on my list, and I've always paid attention to it. I just have not been able to jump in there for one reason or another. This is gonna happen.
Yeah, it's something I'm always going to recommend to people because that's basically what I did. It's like I dabbled very minorly in, when they remade the first one. I was like, okay, cool. I see what this is. This is kind of cool. I can dig it. It didn't fully click with me then, and then I tried again a couple of months later with Zero instead because somebody said, yeah, go Zero instead of the first. You'll thank me later, and then I thanked them later because Zero fucking
Yeah.
rules. And I finished Zero. I'm like, I don't want to stop. Kiwami 1.
There you
Enjoyed that. Kiwami 2. It's just
go.
out. And then I just kept going and it was done. I just went and did all of them.
Hell yeah. Do you when you kind of go through them like that, are you thorough with every single one of them? Or do you?
I don't like 100%, but I try to at least engage with as much of it as I can. Like, obviously, I finished the story for all of them. I dabble in most of the side stories. I at least try most of the major like spin-off like systems, like five, for example. There's like every character has their own like whole mini game associated with them, like either like the taxi driving shit or the full-on, hunting simulator, wildlife hunting. It's like I dabble with all these, usually decently, just enough to have seen all of it. But I don't like go through the list and 100%, get like X amount of money won in Mahjong or every time. I'll just do that as I feel like in any given moment and go, yep, yeah, okay, that'll do.
Oh, I played really, really big chunks of Judgment and the Fist of the North Star as well.
Yeah, those are good ones as well. Like, a friend of mine didn't believe me when I said they did a Fist of the North Star game
Oh my
yesterday.
God.
And I was like, yep,
It is
no, they
something
did.
else.
That game is, it's ridiculous. It's probably like it's comparatively weak, but like a good RPG game is still like a bad RPG game rather is still a good game.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah,
I just.
that was a trip.
Kenshiro is almost like a really good kind of anime parallel to Kiryu in a lot of ways, because he's so
Yeah, the whole kind of
straight-faced. Yeah.
stoic, yeah.
But then you're like driving out in the desert in a buggy and like Super Monkey Ball music is blaring. You're in like Mad
Yes.
Max desert wasteland. It's so good.
You're there just, chiseling balls of ice to put them perfectly into a drink.
Yeah.
I think I about died at Hokuto 100 Proof Rush, and it's like beautiful,
So good, so
perfect.
good.
Absurd. Yeah, RPG games are a treat. Always.
Will, I think we cut
And
you
yeah, Infinite
off
Wealth
there.
is great.
Were you about to say something? No? Okay.
RGG game's good. Like a middling to bad RGG game is better than several of your favorite video games.
That's true.
It just is.
Truth.
I'm sorry. Like, they're them. They do that shit. They do not make bad. Like they do the Rockstar thing. We're like, we're gonna make our shit. We don't really care if you like it. We're gonna do our thing. And it always works out into doing something that like people are like, yeah, so it works.
Yeah, and that is definitely how it goes. It's just something about them. Like, I don't know if it's just because they're so earnest, because they're so like full of content, but also not like oppressive about it. It's just, they're, again, you play them holistically. You just roam around the city, engaging in virtual tourism, and pick and choose what diversions and such you may or may not engage with. Well, then, when the time comes, you sit down and, listen to and engage with a really fascinating, over the top drama big crime drama, and you know, with usually pretty interesting characters and motivations and utterly ridiculous conspiracy plots and whatever, but like it usually lands, more often than not it lands, and it's like, this is great. Perhaps if I were to take it, like, my only, I suppose I have a slight gripe with Infinite Wealth so far, kind of, and that's only because I haven't seen how the plot ends up resolving and such, but it almost feels like there might just be too much of it in how much it's trying to, like, one-up itself, I feel. Because this is a problem that the series has done before, because, So, Will, you've played the older ones, mm-hmm. right? Like, you played through 4 and 5 and all that? Yeah, so I tend to look at it like Yakuza 4's plot is ridiculous in a good way, because there are so many twists, and they're so stupid, and the same stupid twist happens multiple times to the point where it's just like, how? What? This is dumb. But it's so dumb that it still works and it's good. And it manages to, like, straddle the line of absurdity without tipping all the way over, somehow, only just. And that's the that's, like, the pinnacle of where it gets to, that kind of absurdity. And then 5 is my least favorite game, because it almost feels like, in trying to one-up the level of, like, conspiracy and plot threads and all that, it just started fumbling the ball and then kept fumbling and it just fell apart completely. Yes. It tried too hard to be too many things and just fell. And it's like, I don't know. So I worry that that's where we're going with 8. I don't know if it'll happen in 8 or if they try and one up after that and it becomes a problem. Because there's aspects that, like, of things that have happened in 8 where I'm just like, I don't know. This might be a bit much. But I have to see how it all plays out in the end, so we'll see. So that is the only thing I am, you know, have a little bit of trepidation about, but it's still going to be a great time, even if they fumble on that, just because the character work is so much stronger in this than, like, all the rest. Because Ichiban and all the characters are just, like, some of the greatest dudes and protagonists and everything in the series. And in games in general, like, Ichiban's the best. I fucking adore him. He's so dumb in the best and, like, absolute, you know, heart of gold kind of way. It's immaculate. And he really does pair well with, you know, Kiryu and stoic, I am, you know, silent badass doing all that. And especially because Gaiden and now this have gone to increasing efforts to kind of analyze Kiryu as a character and go, what does that do to a person? What are you feeling? How do you feel? How have you dealt with all this? How do you continue to deal with this? What's driving you? And really digging in deep to the point where it's really a good character study and analysis. And 8 in particular is really doing the legwork, almost because it's like, obviously, I don't know how it ends, but it's like, it's almost shaping up to be like, this may be the final ride of Kiryu forever. It's like, we're putting him to bed, give or take, after this. So enjoy it. We're giving you as much as we can to go and reminisce, to enjoy, to really build that, to study that, and send him off as best as we possibly can, whatever his fate. And I'm like, okay. I dig that. And it works on me because I've been there the whole time, right? Like, been all these games. Like, yeah, I feel for Kiryu. He's not my absolute favorite protagonist in the series, but, like, you can't go this far in the series without liking Kiryu. You just can't. It's nuts. So, yeah. But yeah, that's Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. It continues to consume me, and hopefully I'll find time for other games eventually.
Like Helldivers.
There you go.
Like Helldivers. I will find time for Helldivers, I promise you this. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I may as well. It'll be good variety.
So, anybody got anything else?
I'm all tapped out. Everything else I'm playing has an embargo attached to it. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, aside from Like a Dragon, pretty much all I'm playing is just, you know, the legacy games, like I'm WoW raiding and all that. You know, play Warframe with a friend here and there, so that's really it for me. We can keep it nice and compact if we have covered everything. Anything else to touch on, Will, or we good?
I love nice and compact, and we hit some great games, and we talked about them in great ways. So I say, if Lucas is cool with it,
go out on a high note.
Let's get out of here. I got some Helldivers to play, boys.
Fair enough. All right. We'll wrap it up here then. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully I did not do a horrible job as a host. But this is episode 304 of the Platformers Podcast, normally streamed on twitch.tv/ribnax. Not today, however, it will be on YouTube and on all good Platformers podcast-related podcast outlets and such, Spotify, Apple, all the usuals. If you like what we do, you can check out, obviously, all previous episodes and such are pretty good like that. Brian will be back at some point soon. You can catch up with all of his stuff again on his Twitter is at Ribnax, RIBNAX, and I believe it's Brian Barnett on Blue Sky. Brian, BARNETT. And as for me, I'm Chris. I have a website at versusthebacklog.com, VSthebacklog.com, one word, and otherwise, I'm usually here talking shit. Where can everybody find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at @BuyWillBurger. That's Burger with an O, not a U. You can find me on Backlogged and on Blue Sky at Edgar Allan Burrow. And you can always find me doing stuff on IGN. If you'd like to hear more about what I think of Helldivers 2, but it's not a review yet, it's just a review in progress, head over there. I've written up some thoughts for you. And you should join us on the battlefield of Super Earth, because it's a good time.
We need more liberty.
We need more liberty.
Yeah, I'm Lucas White. You can find me on social media as Hokuto Lucas. A little bit of validation that we actually got to bring up Fist of the North Star for the first time.
It's a rare one.
That's what my username is. I'm gonna actually go back and play that game just to have a segment on the show for it soon.
Hell yeah, let's do it. I'll do it too.
For sick. Yeah, you can find most of my writing at Shack News. That's where my Helldivers review will show up, and that's where several more reviews will show up before the month is over. Very busy. But my bank account is grateful, and so am I. Yeah, that's it for me.
It's good to be working. Mm-hmm. All right. Again, thank you very much for tuning in. From everybody here at the Platformers Podcast, we hope you have a great day and stay safe out there. Because until next time, we are out.
Peace.
Peace.